Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts, Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ribble. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
Good evening. Surprise, surprise, it's not Robin or Lisa. It's Nev.
Yeah, we got nice.
And I'm here for the day. Hi, Terry. How are you?
All right. We got neither Robin nor Lisa.
That's right. We're just going to run the show without them. Robin, yeah. Let's see, Lisa is still on leave with her recuperation time, and Robin is away with a slight family emergency, but everything is fine, everyone's fine, it's just one of those things.
And she is on her way back and has been just ran out of time. So we are starting the show, and hopefully she'll be joining us very shortly.
Alrighty, awesome. I figured since she's not in and Lisa nor Terry, Lisa or Robin can't tell me what to do, so I'm going to run the show tonight and call it an Ask a Witch show. How's that?
Yep, there we go.
I'll get away with that one. I have a few questions, and I've also asked some of my coven mates if they have any questions, so please call in. And that number is 1-646-564-9714. So
yeah,
I've been asked.
Accent. Yeah, well, hang on a second. Tell them to wait for the lady with a British accent to finish speaking, and then she will. You will hear the show going on. Then hit the one button. And once you hit the one button, then it tells us what you want to talk. Otherwise, we will see you in there and think that you're just listening, which is perfectly cool. You'll call
Good,
in
yeah.
and listen. If you can't get, you know, if you can't get to a computer, or you don't have the correct apps for iTunes or any of the ways that you can listen to us on your smartphones, simply call in to that guest line and listen to the show. Because if you just call in and listen and don't put your don't hit the one button, then you can just sit there in the queue and listen, and we're perfectly cool with that. You know, that's a great way
Absolutely.
That several of our regular listeners use that as a way to participate in the show without having to get to their computer. So,
or if you're lucky enough and you have a serious app and this, you can listen to it in your car.
Oh, good grief.
There's a Sirius or an XM station that picks up some of those other apps that you're capable of hearing in your car. I think. I have to check that out for sure, but I have heard people do say that they listen through the radio, so okay.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah, I'd like to know more about that. So
yes.
You say you have a question. Now, there was one that you mentioned to me in the pre-show stuff where we were chatting for a minute. Did you want to go ahead and throw that question out and let's chat about that for a minute?
Not necessarily my girls, but I have had, or I say my girls, my group, but I've had this question before, and sometimes I do stumble on it. And the question relies on, do we evoke deity or do we invoke deity?
Okay. All right. So, and I'm guessing that you're throwing that question to me since you're wanting to,
sure,
to hear the discussion. Sure. All right. Well, I will also, well, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and preface this with the heads up that as Robin and I are doing our Tuesday night series on breaking down the components of ritual, we'll actually be touching on that, but it won't be for a little while. Looks like it will be in September. So I guess we could go ahead.
So
I'm
way ahead of the game.
Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit right now. Do we do either or? Is that the question? You know, which do we do?
Yes, the question was, which one? Do we evoke or invoke?
Well, the answer is that depends on the circumstance. When we
I'm going to say this is probably in circle.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing it is in circle. We're gonna answer this as if it is in circle. We have cast the circle. We've called the quarters. Now we're coming to the portion where we call deity. Now, do we invoke or do we evoke? And the answer is it depends on the circumstances. If we call deity to join us in the circle, that is evoking. Hey, y'all, come on down and be with us.
So that's for E,
circle.
For entertainment.
Yeah, that is evoke. If we are invoking, then we are calling deity into ourselves. And when Robin and I do this, we cross call. So she will call the god to enter me, and I will call the goddess to enter her. And
wow.
Well, Niv, you've been in circle with us. You've experienced both of those with us at different times.
Right.
You know, when we call deity and just, hey, come visit, be a part of this, much like what we did at our hand fasting, we did not invoke because
correct.
We were going to be, we were not having a spiritual, you know, the gods getting hand-fasted, we were two humans getting hand-fasted, so we evoked, we called deity to be with us. But then when we were doing the investment of some members of your group,
mm-hmm.
and we were visiting you, we did invoke. And, you know, there's a very different feeling. I mean, it's certainly different
yes.
for me.
I will
sure
attest for that. It's absolutely different.
And when,
because when you evoke, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say when you're evoking, you're asking for a blessing. You know, by them joining the circle. Right. So that works, and I can accept that. That works for me. Invoking, that's a little more in detail, and I've seen it more than once. It is completely different.
It is, and it's a different energy, and it's a different intent. You know, I mean, Robert and I teach all the time about setting your intent. The most important thing is intent. And,
correct.
And if your intent is to bring deity within and to have that physical sharing, that level of communion with deity, it is an incredibly powerful experience for the people witnessing it, but it is even more impressive and impressive isn't the right word, but it is certainly more in depth for the person experiencing it. To have deity invoked, particularly when there's physiological differences, that makes it even
more. And I don't care what anyone says, you really do change. It's a physical change, even voice patterns changes. The eyes change. I don't care what anyone says. I know what I've seen. I've witnessed. I don't know how else to explain it. I mean, it's the complete physical body changing, plus the energy emitted from that person has changed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, it does.
Yeah, and you can, and you're experiencing
you've become
both.
Something
and
else.
Yeah, but you're experiencing both. It's like that night when Robin invoked the horned god through me and into me, I was still present. It was a sharing. I was not possessed. I did not give myself over. That's a different issue altogether.
Right.
And that's something that we'll maybe talk about more in depth the night that we talk about invocation and evocation. It's not a true possession. It is intended to be a sharing. But the interesting part for me is I have invoked humanoid forms. I had never until I don't know the last year worked with the horned god to this level, and there's physiological differences. You know, my legs don't work that way. You know, I don't have that extra, I don't have that extra joint. So I find the physiological differences my body's trying to adapt to. And I'm very conscious of the horns. And it's a very different experience. And definitely a deep sharing and something that is very profound for me. And so you have to be prepared for that. It's not something that you just decide, I think today I'm going to invoke deity.
I've done that a couple of times, not prepared or what's going to. I thought I was prepared, but I was not prepared, and I was left completely into a puddle afterwards. I went, okay, I'm not doing that again. I got a headache. I really did. But, you live and you learn, and go, okay, well, after that direction at another time.
Yeah, but imagine if you had not been at all prepared for it.
Prepared to some degree. We'll just say it that.
Well, exactly.
I don't want to be completely surprised. I don't think I ever have been unannounced, but I do know it could happen. Sure, if there was something so strongly that was so important for me to know, I think it could happen. Sure.
But it
would not be pretty afterwards.
And I experienced a situation. Let's just say the horned god was ill amused with the public ritual that we were experiencing, and decided to come visit me and express his displeasure.
Oh my!
Oh yeah!
And loudly, I'm sure.
There's
no quietness about him.
Now, I kept a handle on it, but I did get a chance to express his displeasure. I just did it with a little more diplomacy than he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So, nonetheless. So, There is the answer. Evoke is calling, invoking is sharing.
Okay. That sounds good to me. Okay. I had another question here. It was a little bit more in-depth, and I think it probably came from a novice. I'll call it novice or seeker, maybe. They had asked, way, like, before seeker, we'll say that, way early, maybe early in their practice, the way that the sentence was made out to me, the question. They wanted to know, how does a solitary move up?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, my take on this is that degrees, and I'm presuming you're referring to degrees and those sorts of issues. Am I
right? Right.
Okay. Just making sure I was following along with the spirit of the question. Degrees recognize development within a group.
Correct. I agree with you on that.
Therefore, a solitary really has no need for degrees. They are developing their relationship, and as long as their relationship with the divine is growing and they are learning and continuing to grow and learn and deepen their connection to the divine, they are really moving up in their growth. There is no need for degrees because there's no one with whom they are recognizing their development. They're just going on about their life and learning. Someone else may at some point experience their level of development and try to categorize them, but that's the other person's. That's not for the solitary. If someone is interested in having that recognition amongst others, then they probably need to find a group with which to work that does recognize a degree system and find that recognition within that group, because that's all it really is. There's no set standards in the pagan community, so it's not like everybody recognizes the same level of learning is, this degree or that degree. There's a few things that are somewhat common in that we're generally expected to be able to have some form of sharing with deity before we can begin to think about calling ourselves a member of the high priesthood.
I'll bring something up on that one there. Before I started working in groups, and yes, I followed all kinds of information from different groups, period, but I wasn't really prepared to go into a group learning situation. The lady that taught me some vital information said that when you're working alone, like you said, and you're working only directly with deity at a solitary level, which is alone, basically, you are your own high priestess. And it is up to you to make the correct decision whether or not you need to plod on forward or not. That's what the information she gave me. And I understand it to a degree, but when you are solitary, you don't even when I was working shamanism, you really don't have a network that you can go, hey, Joe, am I doing this right? Hey, Bill, am I doing this? I mean, you don't. Or you think you don't.
Well, that and you have no measure against others, because degree systems essentially measure us against others for some standard.
Right. Correct.
And, and if you're working as a solitary...
And there's not one, not that I'm aware
exactly,
of.
You have no standard against which you are measuring yourself, and no one against, you know, no one to recognize it. So that's both good and bad, depending on your personality. If you need
right.
that level of recognition from your community, then you're going to have to seek community. And therefore, are you still solitary? And neither is better or worse. I'm certainly not, professing a, one is better than the other. I know a lot of people that work solitary that used to show up for my open rituals, and we would socialize and chit-chat, and they would participate in rituals, and then I wouldn't see them again
for 6 or 7 weeks.
Right, and I wouldn't see them again for 6 or 7 weeks. They sought out that little bit of community, and they participated fully. And I watched them grow. They would occasionally ask questions. This one lady would occasionally ask me questions. And we would have some nice chats. But she did her own practice and shared a little bit of community at the Sabbath. So, it's possible to have kind of both in that way. We never did speak about degrees because there was really no point.
Right. I have coffee every Wednesday night normally when I'm back at my house. There is a variety of paths there. Myself and maybe one other person is part of a group. The rest of them are solitary. We do have open discussion. I mean, it's not like my path is secret. And nor is theirs. The only time that it becomes secret is when you're, digging into somebody's vault or whatever, and I'm not going to do that. But I think it's really important that solitaries do reach out, not just solitary. Everybody reaches out on occasion. You don't have to do it every week. You can do it just at full moons. You can do it at, just regular Sabbaths. I mean, there are too many ways to finding others to communicate with in this day and age as opposed to it was in the early 90s. You couldn't find as many as available to you now. And I think it's really important that you do reach out.
Yeah, nor was it as accepted. I wear a pentacle ring and everybody that, everybody I deal with pretty much knows that I'm Wiccan or pagan, and most
right.
people really couldn't care less. The thing is, human beings are social creatures. We are, by our very nature, social creatures. We do seek out interaction with others.
Correct.
There are a few people that are perfectly happy being, hermits. And again, that's a personal choice, and I'm not going to, cast aspersions on that. But generally speaking, humans are social creatures. So we are going to seek others. Even if we do practice in a solitary way and we come together in some social format like this coffee club that you were talking about, open ritual. That sort of thing, going to an event or a festival and participating there and hanging out with people, attending some workshops, learning a few things, maybe sharing a few things, but sharing what you've learned. But again, when it comes down to moving up, as returning to the question, moving up indicates that that we're gaining recognition from others.
I would think a lot of this question pertains to a little bit of self-doubt in the solitary's practice. They don't realize that they have that that strength in themselves, because that's you're the only ones that's responsible for that divine connection. Yep.
Right. Well, they're seeking external validation. That indicates that they are needing external validation by its very nature. The question itself indicates that they're seeking external validation. If we're worrying about degrees,
right? And there's a group there in Pittsburgh.
We all do need that from time to time. We do. I mean, we're humans. I mean, nobody is so self-confident that they never need external validation. But we all need it from time to time.
I'm thinking, like, we just took on an affiliate ourselves, and my coven did. I am also an affiliate of another coven. But it's not for any kind of recognition. It's for that social contact, that networking. They're a completely different path than what we are or what I am. And it's really interesting for me to learn something from them and going, wow, really? Y'all do that? You do it that way? Really? But it's okay to learn something new. Maybe I can, you know, put it into my practice or share with the group, you know. But I really do believe that you should reach out and do something a little different once in a while to brush up on your own things.
Absolutely. I mean, when Robin and I came together, we have been following parallel paths for, you know, 20 years. But we had never crossed. And when we crossed paths, we had amazing conversations. And then when we joined our paths, we've had even more amazing and, I will say from time to time, contentious discussions about subtle variations and differences. Our basic, deepest, core understandings are frighteningly similar, considering...
Yeah, they are. I will vouch, yes, they are.
We didn't meet until 3 years ago, and for us to come together and be so amazingly common in our deepest core belief structure and understanding, there are subtle variations or subtle differences, but on the whole, we've worked those out. I'm a little more structured, and she is a lot less structured. And the blending of the two has helped me to lighten the hell up, okay? And it has also helped her to put a little more organization into things, which I think on balance, we've made each other better.
Well, it does help because, you know, here I'm coming up from my old coven and then the previous coven, and they are completely different. There was no planning in the last coven, but the previous one did. So now I'm trying to put two together to make this nice little round ball. It's getting there. It just takes time. I like to have a little wobble on the side every once in a while.
Yeah, and I like to dress up in the tools and a little bit of pomp and circumstance, and she could not care.
You and I are like that way.
Say again?
I said you and I are like that way.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with playing dress up a little bit and having quarter altars and all of the, you know, and having the frou-frou. Yeah, it's frou-frou. It's not necessary.
Yeah. No, it's not necessary. Not even one physical is necessary.
No, I have sat on park benches in street clothes and done ritual with people all around me milling in and out of the park. Had no idea. I mean, a couple of them occasionally would feel something.
Mm-hmm.
And would glance over. But no one ever interrupted. And most people had no clue what was happening. And I did my ritual, and it was all within. And you know, like I said, a couple of people would glance over when they felt something. And, you know, they could feel the energy moving. But otherwise, none of the tools are absolutely necessary. They're not. They're physical or key. Now, keys are important. You know, don't get me wrong. And the more depth, in my opinion, you know, Robin may disagree. Or she may agree because she does sometimes. I mean, we've got the tools. I just find them more useful than she, you know, than she does. But the more layers of symbolism that you can bring into the ritual, the deeper the experience can be. It has a potential for a greater depth because you're adding
layer upon layer of focus. Right.
Exactly.
You're focusing on everyone focuses separately. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, but it helps to shift consciousness. And if you've got in the South, you've got an altar with red and maybe a banner with the alchemical triangle, and you've got, you know, a fire, and you've got all of these things, just layer upon layer upon layer of fire symbology, then that's going to add to the depth of that experience. You know, same
sure.
for North or East or West. You know, if you've got statues of your deity and you know, you can look at, you know, a statue of the horned god or a picture of the horned god or of Breed or Isis or whomever.
Then we invite, I have several different statues from different pantheons, and being that it's a teaching coven, I feel like if you put someone in that altar situation that isn't so path-driven, it keeps them, it calms them, like, oh, hey, I know that guy. Hey, I know that Shiva. I know that is Buddha. And that's just what I have out there now because the girls are still starting to bring in theirs. But it does help them to be calm. They do calm down to a point, and I can literally watch them change from the excitement of joining in the circle to, oh, look at that pretty goblet, and I'm now there. You know, you could just physically watch them change as they tune in. And it's absolutely wonderful, you know. Or when we have the flowers out, certain flowers evoke different passions as well. And I really think it's important that your people that are involved in your circle should be as comfortable as possible.
Well, yeah, the more layers of symbolism, the more the experience can be deepened. Of course, on the flip side is that we did an amazing ritual in your backyard.
Yes.
With a
and it wasn't cold either, can you imagine?
and we did it we had a fire in the fire pit, and that was it. We didn't have any tools. I think I had my staff with me, but that's, you know.
We had the back altar on set up with a single solitary candle. One was burning. That was it. Very simple, and it was quite energetic, powerful-wise. Even my other two coven mates went, holy smokes, that was strong.
Yeah, and the staff, like I said, isn't so much a tool in that regard as a symbol of, I was there as high priest.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of that symbol of authority of the high priest, and I was, you know, representing the horned god with the, you know, with that staff, you know, so,
right.
You know, how much is that a tool and how much of that is just a symbol within, you know, you get the idea. But that was all we had. That was it. And we
and it was very, very strong.
There it is. So, so she's right and I'm right and the truth is in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, and it just spins around that fire pit. It did.
And it does. It does. And the correct answer is the answer that is correct for the individual. Because I certainly don't have all the answers. I've got a lot of opinions, but those aren't necessarily the answers. It's not my job.
I'll just leave that alone. I'll be a good girl. I won't say anything. No, it's okay.
Yeah, but I mean,
people don't know how well I know Terry.
My job is to give advice and to validate experiences. Someone come to me and, they had something happen and they just going, they're just going on.
That's that blathering attitude.
Yeah. And my job is to say, yes, 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 I understand, yep, been there, okay, yep, no, this, and pretty much.
I've had similar,
That's my job, is to validate that experience, to say, yes, you get it, you had this experience, isn't that wonderful? I've had a similar experience, or I know someone that's had a similar experience. You had a connection to the divine, and you've got to tell me about it. You need to tell somebody about it, so spill it. And my job's to say yes. And say, yes, you did it. You're great. It's not, there is nothing wrong. There's no wrong or right. We have.
I think a lot of people actually think that they're not connecting with them more. I keep telling people that the only way that you can continue this communication level is keep trying.
That goes back to the conversation that the three of us had last night.
Yes.
We practice witchcraft. If we're not practicing, we're not practicing witchcraft. The word is practice. There's a reason for that. There's a reason that word sounds like...
Because you haven't got it right yet, so you got to keep doing it.
Well, if we had it right, we wouldn't need to incarnate.
Right.
The reason we keep coming back is to get it right. When we get it right, we don't have to come back. We move on to something else.
Well, it's right for me, and then it may not be right for the next one. So I think it's really good to do the practicing with and without your coven mates. You don't have to have a coven mate to practice.
See, now you bring up another issue altogether. You brought up
you don't necessarily have to practice with your coven mates all the time, but you do have to practice at home.
You've hit it right there. I have worked with groups for the better part of 15 years, maybe longer. I'm not going to, oh, good God, maybe it is a lot longer. Who knows? I'm old.
Don't look at the calendar. I just did the other day. I went, oh, my God.
Yeah. So I've been working with groups, let's go ahead and say 20 years, in a leadership role. And... I completely lost my train of thought.
Practicing with coven or solitaire.
Yeah, the thing is, group ritual never, ever, ever replaces personal ritual and your individual personal relationship with the divine.
There's
never
no way it can.
Group ritual a substitute. Group ritual is a supplement. But
word.
If you work in a coven, even if you've got brothers and sisters in your coven, I have a separate relationship from the divine than Robin does. Now, we do a lot of work together now, and we have family ritual, and we have that the rituals that she and I do together, and there's a depth to those that is astonishing and amazing and wonderful. And I still have my ongoing conversations with the horned god. That is just me. That's just my personal connection. And then we've got the group that we, you know, that we lead, and the groups that have, I don't know the right word, hived off, whatever, I don't know, but that we, you know, that we provide some, you know, some measure of guidance.
Right.
And
yeah, well, I'm hived off.
And we
that's what it is, you hive off. Yep. Let's see, you guys have the way you teach, it's good for you and for those that seek you. And I don't have a problem with it. I just think everybody learns at a different pace in different ways, like we said last night. Auditory,
yes.
Visually, physical touch. Not necessarily can you physical touch and learning process of what we're doing, but there are some people that can read it and get it. I'm not one that can read it and get it. I have to visually see what I'm to do it so I can mimic it until I make it mine.
Now, well, I still say you have to experience it. You can read it and get it mentally and all you want, but until you experience it, you know, emotionally, until you actually have that connection, that powerful experience, then you still just get it from a book.
I didn't get crack shit.
We've gone way
past. Yes, it is. Look at the clock.
And I'm going to go ahead and call a pause here, and let's go ahead and play Antlered Crown and Standing Stone, since that seems to be kind of part of the theme here tonight. And
Alrighty. And
we'll play that by Dave the Bard. Who we will be seeing at Caldera Fest on Memorial Day weekend, the big pagan Woodstock. And so stick around, listen to Dave the Bard, Antlered Crown and Standing Stone, and a little promo for Caldera Fest, and we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. Well, maybe 5 or 6. Stick around.
I'm the voice within the tree. I am voice, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand, and everywhere that the birds sing to the dawn, and the land has awoken, and oh my lady lays with me, and our love weaves a tapestry, eternal thread unbroken. I am lover, I am father, I am in all of nature. sky is grey. Where am I this winter's day? Bones of trees, fallen leaves, the time of the winter queen. But through the wind and snow and rain, know that a part of me remains. Holly stands evergreen.
Join us Thursday, May 26th through Monday, May 30th, Memorial Day weekend 2016, for Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival. Join 29 of your favorite bands and musicians, including Tuatha Dea, Dave the Bard, Dragon Ritual Drummers, Wendy Rule, S.J. Tucker, Digis Christ Superdrum, and many more. Great music, great food, great vendors, and great workshops presented by the musicians themselves. Plus, the official CD release of the Green Album, a great collaboration album by many of the artists that will be at Caldera Fest. For more information, visit Caldera Fest on Facebook or go to www.calderafest.com.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
All right.
Okay, and we're back. Ooh, nice song. I love Dard the Barb.
Oh, yeah, and that's one of those pagan hymns that he wrote. And that interview we did with him back on Christmas Eve was great. And, you know, he talked about the pagan hymn, the pagan hymns that he, basically what it comes down to is they're pagan hymns. I mean, you listen to that and you just feel, that it's the story of the God. And it's this amazing song of praise to the God as the God progresses from, through the stages of life. It's just one of my favorite songs in the one of my favorite pagan songs of all time.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So
he's a good guy. He does write from the heart, so that's absolutely the best thing that we need to have in our communities.
Yeah.
The music actually does move you into a place that you need to be in wherever stage you're in your practice.
Yeah, well, I think we do need more, pagan hymns. I think that's one thing that we do need is to bring music to the pagan community, and not just the music of artists that the average person cannot,
Like me looking for old stuff, and it's like I can't find anybody that can. The particular witch that I'm speaking of, she passed away, and she had written a book of hymns, and I had been looking for a copy forever, and unfortunately there's not a copy available. So like they need to share and give one over to, you know, like Evo, contact Evo and send a copy of it over there. I need those songs.
Yeah, to the new Alexandrian Library down there. Absolutely.
Alexander Museum, sure.
Yeah, so it's the new Alexandrian Library.
Yes.
So what he's trying to do is to create a new repository of knowledge, like the library at Alexandretta that was burned, and all of that knowledge lost.
Oh, that's just horrible. And so many people has donated to the new Alexander Museum, and I'm so thankful for everyone that has that ability to do that, to keep our history alive.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of our shows are being sent down there in the audio format. So,
yeah, very cool.
A lot of that's being preserved. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll be, you know, not only old, but part of history. So, before
that's
the break,
a day trip. I need to make a trip that way.
We were talking about a group ritual, solitary ritual, and I think that we pretty much run our course on that. The true answer is there is no right answer for any, you know, my answers are not your answers. So, you know, my answers are generally to say, hey, is that working for you? Did you have a deep and wonderful experience? Then you did it right.
Right.
For you.
Right.
You did it right for you. You know, that's it. That's the whole.
I think that's what makes it difficult for solitaries to walk into a coven situation because if they've had an experience on their own and then they try to invoke it back into the coven, so like, I think that's where they have that little bit of a eye twitching moment because it doesn't happen like that. You know, it's completely different.
The coven experience in any group ritual. Now, I had a group of people in Barbados that I worked with, and it was the same people month in and month out. And there was a very definite group energy. The word for that is egregore. It is the we-ness. We're developing that even with our on-air rituals here because we have the same people calling the quarters. We have the same people calling, you know, God and Goddess, you calling the ancestors. And all of that same energy being used together, there's a we-ness. Now, we are doing something as a group that is developing its own life, its own energy. Now, that's going to be different from what I do as a solitary. When I do solitary practice, it's going to be different than when Robin and I practice together. And it will be different than what we would do as a group in person. It was different than what we did when we came over for the investments at your coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to have a different feel because you're going to have different people. And so every ritual is going to have slightly subtle differences in flavor, but it's supposed to.
Right. It is supposed to.
That group energy is different than your personal practice at home or your family practice at home. When you come together with the group, you have the group energy, the group egregore. And the egregore can become almost as fixed as a thought form because the energy becomes a we-ness that other people experience and you bring new people into it and they become a part of that, and they feel that, and the group practice is molded by the egregore, that group energy. That doesn't mean that when they go home, they're supposed to do what they should, you know, their own thing at home. But the group
right.
is going to have a different feel and a blending of those energies. That's just what it is. And I think that's very cool that it takes on.
I do know that there are some callers that actually will listen to the opening of our online rituals and use them with their own personal rituals. I do know people that do that. And I went like, really? You really do that? Yes, it's much more powerful that way for me. Okay, I guess you're not alone ever, because we've got archives and archives of rituals.
Well,
but they do feel very comfortable.
And I know people that cast their own circle and then listen to the guided meditations.
No, I don't doubt it. Because there's times I just will drift off and not want to come back.
You've done
that to me before, Terry.
Well, you know, that's the power of voice.
Right.
And part of my training, as I was working my way up through the degree programs and my home tradition of growing up, one of the things that I was taught was the use of voice. And anyone that's worked with me in person, been in circle with me in person, knows that there's about 3 or 4 distinct voices that I use. And there are times when I can look across a room and speak to one person, and the person standing next to them does not hear it.
Correct.
And that is a means that I use to channel my voice, but I can also fill an auditorium with my voice, or I can take you on a journey and walk you through the woods and across a bridge and up a hill, and that's all part of the training with the voice that I was given, and it's been a true blessing to me.
Sometimes I just like to stay over there. Do I have to? And, you know, when you're letting me know we're coming back, like, I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. It's nice here.
The old Jedi mind tricks. There is a power to voice. You know, that it's mentioned in a lot of contemporary myths. It's mentioned in Star Wars saga. It's mentioned in the Dune saga. The use of voice to draw people into your vision of things, take them on this journey, or to fill the room with so much energy that you feel the impact of the words in your body and in your chest.
Right.
And that's all part of the training that I received and part of what I need to pass on to others.
Yes, I have to agree with that. I do have to agree.
But with all of that said, it is now the top of the hour.
It just went so fast. No wonder we were exhausted this morning. We did the same thing last night.
Just flew by. You were exhausted and everybody else slept, and I got up and drove away this morning. So.
I was snoozing for you. Sorry.
I'm on the ragged edge right now, so I'm gonna have to get
how can people get a hold of you, Terry?
If you have any questions, comments, moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, whatever, we look forward to your letters. You can email cern.org@gmail.com. That's for the station. If you want to get in touch with me and or Robin, you can email us. The email address that we share is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Or go to the Little Stone Bridge Path Workings page on Facebook and click like so that we know that you're around. You can also find Robin on Facebook. She is Robin A. McKean. She's the only one that has that name on a friend's page. You can also check out the show, Facebook page for this show, which is Spiritual Wellness Physical Health. And that is a like page on Facebook also, so you can like that and let people know that you're around. You can also get in touch with you can get in touch with me. You can look for Terry Power on Facebook. Find the one that says North Copley, Pennsylvania, and something about the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Or find my public figure page, which is Rev Terry Power HP. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. So I think that summed it all up.
And I'd like to also mention that any of these stars and entertainers that are going to be at Caldera, I will be contacting you, so please turn yourself in.
Yes. On Thursday night, between now and Caldera Fest, we've got Dorothy Morrison coming up this week.
Yep.
But then after that, it's going to be, as much as possible, all of the entertainers that are going to be appearing at Caldera Fest. We're putting on a big push to support the festival as a station.
And the Green
Robin
Album.
Robin and I, and very possibly Niv, will be there with press credentials, and we'll be interviewing a lot of the artists on site. We're going to hopefully do a live remote from there. Depending on the technology, that's going to depend on the internet connection down there. At the very least, we're going to be doing a lot of recording of interviews that we can play later. We're going to be actually introducing a few of the artists, so you'll be able to see us on stage with some of the artists and track us down, find us, and say hi. So we're looking forward to meeting some of the listeners down there as well. So let's see. Tomorrow night, Robin and I will be talking about the Wheel of Fortune card, and that's part of our continuing series through the Fool's Journey through the major arcana of the tarot. We're teaching these from the Rider-Waite deck, so that's a good basis. But go ahead and listen tomorrow night to the Wheel of Fortune card. Go back into the archives and find any of our cards. The Wheel of Fortune's card number 11. So that will mean that we've already done 11 cards, with the Fool being zero. So we've already done about 11 cards in this series. So go back and pick up some of those. And then next Tuesday night is going to be our full moon ritual. So make sure you tune in for that. This coming Thursday, we're going to be interviewing Dorothy Morrison, prolific pagan author, several books of spells that are out there, and I think one of them's just come back into a new release. And we'll be talking with her. And then the following Thursday night, the 28th of January, we're going to be talking to one of the Caldera Fest artists. We're going to be talking to Sean Bowen of Digis Christ Superdrum. And that's going to prove to be an interesting interview, so you don't want to miss it. And that's enough of what's ahead. We've got an entire Tuesday night schedule for most of the year, and Niv, our booking manager for the station and occasional helping out to fill in host, has been working diligently to fill up our Thursday nights with artists and great interviews. So you don't want to miss any of that. So always check in on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. And, of course, Monday night is usually Robin, and she's talking about wellness and health and all the cool stuff that gives us a better quality of life. So you want to check in on her every Monday night. So I think that's about it. I think that's about it. I'm going to thank Nev again for all of her hard work.
You do it for me, Terry. So we're good.
But you booking all of these artists and finding all of these people, it makes us look better, and we couldn't do it without your help, and we appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much. We have fun doing it.
Cool. Well, I guess that's about all there is to say now, except to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.